SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good. Tuesday? All right, it's happening to me. I'm losing track of days. Oh, very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964 and at our website too, stevepick.com. I think it's because Sid's going to be on it at the start of hour 2. I moved Sid up to today and kind of stacked tomorrow and so I guess I have Wednesday on the mind. Plus we're, you know, kind of excited about the way things are starting to develop. And that includes tomorrow, Fowler Park with the force out of their pick five, the Golden Gate pick six on Thursday. As they reopen, still anticipating a Friday start to Santa Anita, and then Saturday Churchill, and so it's a good week. It feels like we're moving in the right direction, and we should have opportunities. The Golden Gate thing is fun. I talked to Nick Tamaro last night, and I said, "What do you think? You want to do Fawner 5 or Golden Gate 6? The Golden 6." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "Let's do Golden Gate." And so he's going to come on tomorrow, and we'll go through the sequence. They've got, you know, predictably, obviously, there's going to be, you know, good size fields at all of these, you know, at all of these reboots. And with vans pulling into Churchill, in fact, I retweeted a little video of a Brookledge van pulling into Churchill yesterday. And that, you know, that is the fastest way to make everybody feel like, you know, the everyday and you know, life as we would like to know it. And so I think that got a lot of people excited. You could just sort of tell. There were lots of pictures. I saw where Brad Cox showed how the mascot goat wasn't helping anything. The goat was of no use to anybody packing up and unpacking. And you know, the fairgrounds horses, you know, they've got this multi-stage, you know, multi-day move-in policy. And actually, we may, you know what, we'll reach out to the backstretch at Churchill and see what kind of mood there is. They expected about 300 horses yesterday and today. I think I saw the number about 150 to 175. And, yeah, 175 were supposed to be on the ground by yesterday. So another 125 or so today. Then Florida horses are going to start to show up next, and Arkansas after that. And then anybody from anywhere else that has got stalls, they're going to be more than welcome. And Ben Huffman and his staff will take entries tomorrow for the Saturday return. That'll be a highly anticipated overnight, without a doubt, right? In addition, I've got a couple of feelers out. If you didn't see what happened yesterday out of Rochester and Governor Cuomo, New York continues to make progress, and the state is, I think, on tourism, on the basis of tourism marketing. The state has got 10 regions that actually does a pretty nice and aggressive job marketing the various. New York is incredibly diverse, and three of the regions, the Southern Tier and the Finger Lakes and the sort of the Mid-Hudson, sort of southwest of slightly of Albany, which if you've ever taken 88 from west of Albany to Binghamton is when you say sparsely populated, it's yeah, it's kind of a quiet zone there. There's huge stretches when you go to the North Country, when you go up to up to the St. Lawrence and up toward Plattsburgh. I mean, there's huge swaths of the state that are completely unpopulated, but the Finger Lakes news has some potential. So that's an inquiry that's out there, trying to reach the guys from Finger Lakes to see if they've got a plan for the season, for getting started. And of course, Finger Lakes, Chris Vaccaro and Austin Reed, they, they've got, they've had a very nice policy. They we talked about what it's got to be 3 weeks ago. They were able to take a section of purse money, and based on starts from last year, gave some support to the staffers. And in fact, Austin Reed getting back to me, and Chris and Austin will have a meeting today with Finger Lakes Delaware North management, and then in the afternoon with the governor's office. And they should have some concrete answers about when Finger Lakes gets going and how they can structure. So I appreciate Austin's input, and maybe we'll hear more from him tomorrow. Chris Katulak's going to join us, give you a rundown of what's going on today, and that includes can't let a Fauner Park opportunity go by the wayside. They've got two more of these force outs tomorrow, and then 2 weeks from tomorrow for their closing day this May season. And later, I mentioned Sid going to join us at 10. Daryl McCark, as I mentioned yesterday, is going to visit, and we continue with the appreciations of the Hall of Fame inductees and the additions to things like the Pillars section. Tomorrow we'll honor Alice Chandler, and that should be – I'm really looking forward actually to that, but – Daryl McCark today, and he's had a very interesting riding career. And one thing I want to certainly ask him about, in addition to his Preakness win, as we kind of shift from Derby memories to Preakness memories, and Preakness, it's Preakness week. I put up a picture of Affirmed in Aladar yesterday, and nothing. I suppose Sunday Silence and Easy Goer get people going. But McCark was involved in one of the most interesting Triple Crowns in terms of participation because of the three different winners. And, you know, last week with Carl Nafsker, in fact, a week ago, we talked about how the Street Sense hard spun rags to riches, curling, you know, the mix and match and everything that went on that year, you know, with three different winners. In 1975, with Foolish Pleasure winning the Derby, and then Master Derby winning the Preakness, and Avatar winning the Belmont. All three participated in all three races. And you know, Foolish Pleasure, I mean, if they had the Triple Crown bonus back then, he would have won it because he was first, second, and second. But Master Derby, quite good. I mean, he's fourth in the Derby, wins the Preakness, was third at Belmont, and Avatar was second in the Derby, fifth in the Preakness, and wins the Belmont. So we're gonna touch on a bunch of things with Mick Hark. You know, he also had the bad luck of being on Run Dusty Run in 77. And you know, he rode a lot of horses. It's interesting. He rode a number of horses when you look through his career when it comes to the three-year-olds that sort of had some bad luck in terms of just being, you know, being a really good horse and, you know, kind of running into, you know, some real monsters and seasons. I mean, Run Dusty Run certainly had a terrific career, but, you know, third in the Preakness and with Mick Hark, and then later second in the Travers as well. And Mick Hark rode some horses that are a little more lesser known. Mackenzie Bridge was a nice horse. And then I actually came across some horses that I didn't even really associate with him. And some that are kind of buried, like Terlingua. He rode Terlingua more than anybody else. And of course, the dam of Stormcat, but she had a hell of a career. He rode General Assembly, Ancient Title. He had, when John Henry came west, he was John Henry's regular rider for a hugely successful run of victories. I think seven stake wins, Mick Hark with John Henry. So it should be a lot of fun. But he also did the interesting thing about bringing his tack to Europe. And that between Steve Coffin and Cash Asmussen, and it interesting. I want to ask him about it. And he had success over there as well before coming back, and ultimately when he retired and you know, a long, successful career as a steward. And if you saw some of his quotes, he was tickled and surprised. A very, you know, kind of low key and I wouldn't say that's not shy, but he's not a it's not super outgoing. Looking forward though to another one of these conversations as the Triple Crown season, which is quite delayed. let's just say that, right? It's on hold for now, and we're still waiting for lots of decisions to be made. We're going to do Case. I just got the directive when it comes to Chris Katulak, and I think we better go to him now because he's tied up at the bottom of the hour instead. So he said, call before. All right. So we'll get Chris Katulak in here and we'll look at this sequence tomorrow. Meanwhile, yesterday, actually at Fawner, kind of a straightforward day. And there were a couple of decent prices, and I sure hope everybody jumped aboard the Stetson Mitchell, late double. He had the 1-2 favorite in the allowance in the seventh and wins that nearly wire to wire, and then comes back. Actually, this Arrieta, who we talked about, you know, he's not taking tons of calls, but he's winning, and he's certainly, you know, yesterday with three wins yesterday. So he's making an impact, to say the least. And we, you know, we started talking about him last week. So looking forward to this sequence tomorrow, and it starts race 5, 6:48, first post in the sequence, and going into today's card. Going into today's card, we are looking at, let me see what they ended up with yesterday. There it is. All right. So going into today at 234,000 in that pool. And so it'll, you know, assuming there's no oddities today, that sweep the thing away out from under everybody, you're probably looking at 320, give or take. Yeah, so it should be very attractive, and you got to figure again, $1.5 million or more. It's amazing how with the limited opportunities, there's been plenty of these kinds of sequences. I know that Andy Serling later when we talk, Andy and I discussed it at length, and Johnny gave his treatment of it yesterday. But Andy wants to, address the budget side of things. Later, hour three, John Nichols, Clocker John, he goes back to work tomorrow as training, returns and gets going at the Downs. And if you didn't happen to notice, if you aren't happen to be friends with John or follow him on Twitter, he had an unbelievable weekend, an unreal sequence on Saturday of almost sweeping three of the online events, picked up another NHC seat, came within pennies of taking down a BCBC qualification and won a $25,000 contest. Unbelievable. Two wins and a second for John. We're going to talk about it. And plus, we'll talk about the season in general. Right now, Chris Katulak joins us from Fonner Park as the unexpected pleasure of a May meet, of a May season, is moving forward into week two. After yesterday. Chris, good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show. I was just saying goodbye to my horses, leaving my place, driving to work, and I got a text that you wanted me on the show, and I'm wondering, great, what's the occasion?
Well, you got another distribution tomorrow, and wanted to touch base on that, and how things have proceeded with the edition of the May season.
Yeah, well, things have gone well. We certainly are surviving here. We have, as you say, tomorrow one of our two remaining mandatory payouts in the Dinsdale Lake Pick 5 jackpot wager. And going into today, I think we've got a $232,000 carryover. So if someone doesn't take that down today by themselves, and who knows, it could be your handicapper that's picking up a handicapping contest left and right, then we'll have something very large to shoot for tomorrow, as you can imagine. And then the final day, Steve, will be on Wednesday, May 27th. That will be our concluding day here at Fonner Park for these extended days in May, and we're expecting a big triumphant finish that week.
No doubt. And, the horsemen continue to, you know, to respond. And with some of the news that, you know, some of the other Midwestern ovals, including probably most notably for, you know, for your horsemen, with Canterbury opening up the gates and with racing, you know, in June, this ends up being a, you know, really a huge benefit, not just to you and the racetrack, but, you know, to the horsemen that would have had to have treaded water otherwise.
You're right. The idea was to, one, make sure that the horses remain cared for whatever duration it would be that these horses would be at Fauna Park when March 16th came and we were recommended to be shut down by our mayor here of Grand Island. So we certainly have accomplished that. I didn't want the facility, the stable area, to become a refugee camp. And by all means, it has not become that, because the horsemen have not, there's been no deviation in the overnight purse money that they've been running for. So hooray for them. I guess now is a good time to break some news with you, Steve, on your show. So this has not been announced. I'm planning on doing it a little bit later today officially, but we'll do it on your show. Regarding options for horsemen to go elsewhere and regarding other tracks coming online whereby you may wager on them, such as Churchill, Golden Gate, Charlestown, potentially Santa Anita, so on and so forth, the party here at Fauna is starting to wind down, as you can imagine. Horses are actually leaving to go elsewhere, which is a little bit of a head-scratcher, why they would leave when there's 3 weeks of purse money remaining here, but it's happening. And I guess the bloom has come off the rose. I don't know how else to say it other than the horse population here at Fauna Park is starting to reduce, and it will not reverse. It will continue to get smaller with each and every week or day. And in anticipation of that, the news is that we have decided to cancel or abandon our Wednesday, May 20th card. So not tomorrow, next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, May 20th, we are not going to race that day of racing. And here's why. This gives us a whole day of racing. It gives a week off for some horses, and it enables us to, as I referenced that triumphant finish. That was some foreshadowing there, Steve. We're going to have a bigger and better final week of racing, and I will not have any horses on my watch go out and race in an unsavory racing situation. And we're going to present a savory product if we don't have seven horse fields or six horse fields or six or seven race cards. And I just don't want it to come to that here at Fauna Park, Steve.
No, I get it. And, you know, you added, you were prepared to add 12 rates, you know, 12 extra race days. And with, you know, the landscape shifting, I mean, everybody has adjusted as they needed to and as, you know, as the situation demands. So, all right. So no racing on the 20th. You'll race today and tomorrow, then the 18th and 19th, and then the 25th, 26th, 27th.
Correct. Yes, and that 25th is Memorial Day, so sure, yeah. We'll share that day with some bigger tracks. But you know, I'm looking positively to that. I think that's going to give us some exposure that we will like. I don't think, you know, surely we'll be will we be in the shadow of the bigger tracks? Yes, or will we be another ring of the three ring circus going on? You know, who knows? I don't think that'll be anything. Super negative for us. Then on that following Tuesday, I think we're just about the only show in town on that Tuesday. Us on Tuesday, May 26th at Fauna Park and Assiniboia at 7:30 in the evening. So that'll go well for us. And then of course the final day, the 27th, will be strong for us with our closing day and that mandatory payout in the Dinsdale Lake Pick Five jackpot.
Nice. The timing, we bring this up with Presque Isle, your spot in terms of the start time is really a kind of a sweet spot. And, you know, even with bigger ovals returning to the betting menu, you're still in a spot where afternoon, you know, tracks are winding down and, it doesn't feel like you're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Well, let's hope that's the case. You remember 4 p.m. was the standard weekday start time at Exarbon in Omaha. And that, talk about a sweet spot. That really was that we had a lot of mutual tellers who were school teachers, and they'd get off of school and rush on out to the racetrack and
well,
put on their bright blue mutual teller vest and their white shirt, and off they would go and be a part of what was really a terrific jewel of the Midwest, Exarbon, when it was up and running in Omaha.
I love it. My wife, Saratoga, same situation. She's a school teacher, and that's a very popular, you know, summer job for, you know, for the teaching profession. People come.
Oh, God bless the the teachers, and God bless the spouses of the people involved in horse racing, such as you and I. Hey,
absolutely.
By the way, speaking of New York. And speaking of Midwest racing, I think the last time I was on your show, I mentioned Joe Drape and the New York Times story that's forthcoming. It came out today, and
it
was a very positive depiction of Fauna Park and our current situation, so I was very pleased with that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up, and we'll get that circulated. Nice. Here it is. How sports star bettors made a Nebraska horse track. Made a must see TV. That's great. Fauna Park in Grand Island. Nice.
That headline hit the nail on the head there for sure.
That's terrific. I didn't notice it actually this morning. I went up at 7 o'clock. So there we go. Nice.
Yeah.
Photographs look fabulous.
Here's the twist on the photographs. The photographer is Calla Kessler. When I was in grade school, I had a buddy named Tom Kessler who was this wild, maverick, loose horse kind of a guy. I mean, like the kid that was on Ritalin kind of a guy. Well, he is completely... he would say it. I'm saying it about him. Anyway, he completely turned his ship around and became an outstanding photographer. I have a degree in photography and never applied it professionally, per se. Tom didn't get the degree. He just went on and had this outstanding career, and he sired a photographer that's an outstanding photographer, and Calla Kessler, that's working for the New York Times, and that's who is dispatched to come and spend the day with me out here at Fauna Park. So, small world and ironic or whatever you want to coincidental for sure.
That's hysterical. That's wild, actually.
Yeah, you think? Go ahead, Steve.
No, you knew. I mean, you knew of her already, or did you make the connection? You know, when you heard the name.
No, when Joe Drape sent me the email saying, hey, your photographer will be Calla Kessler, I said, Kessler. I said, I kind of said the same thing. I said, there was this wild kid in grade school I palled around with who became an outstanding photographer. You know, any chance this, you know, what, you know, I'm sure there's no chance and whatever. And she said, he's my dad. So we had some good laughs on her husband or on her Calla's father. Tom Kessler when we were out here. But the story that Calla depicts and Joe depicts in their photos and in their storytelling reporting talk about the Jake Alesiak story and about how he has a real job and a full-time gig working in an ethanol factory almost 2 hours away from Grand Island. And then also the Martinez family, Kelly Martinez, her husband Armando, their son Damian, his girlfriend Lexi, and how they're all part of the fabric here that you know, makes the horses go around here at Fauna Park. It really is a wonderful depiction of what's going on in the here and now here.
That's
at Fauna.
Great. That's great. I will during the break. I will send out a link for everybody to enjoy it. You got about a minute though, because I know you got another obligation, Chris. But any pushes for tomorrow? Any horse that people can lean on? You think in the sequence?
Well, No, but I'll give it a look. Although yesterday at about the half-mile pole, I heard Steve Anderson say Superstyle is up on the outside. And I thought, oh, Superstyle. That horse was on my horses to watch list.
I bet
like one quarter of one half of 1% of the race. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I haven't made a bet in years. But, you know, you see things and you think, oh, I'd bet that horse next time he comes back. Well, he just went around the track like he owned it and 5-1 winner or whatever. But so, you know, we all have those sports. I'm human. We all have those stories. So it happens to everybody. I will say this, one more breaking news. Superfecta racing in the first race at Fawner starts today. We haven't done it previously, but it will happen today. So there's a double scoop for you there, Steve Bick.
Holy cow. This is, if I keep you on longer, we'll come up with another two or three pieces of news.
Yeah,
tremendous.
No. Well, we might get into some dark stories then. We'll quit.
No, you're doing great, and everybody appreciates, and I know that this has been especially this month is going to be a boon to you and for the long-term prospects too of Fawner. So continued success through tomorrow and just 2 days of racing next week, the 18th and 19th, and then closing week, 25th, 26th, 27th, force out tomorrow and a force out on the 27th. Chris Katulak, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve, and maybe you can get me on before May 27th.
Absolutely, without fail.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Not at all. Chris Katulak, and the story looks terrific. I just kind of quickly skimmed through that the Elysiac story is pretty cool. Nice. All right. Well, we'll get you some thoughts on the card in a little bit. And there's a couple, I don't know, there's a couple of horses that might be able early. It seems like if you're going to tiptoe through on this card tomorrow, it's going to be in the front end. Because the 7th, 8th, and 9th, 7th and 8th particularly look like you're going to have to spread a little bit. You might be able to get away with two horses in the first leg. And, one of the problems with Fawner that when you're trying to build these pick five tickets is coming across a horse that might look best, but who doesn't necessarily have the style that plays best there, you know? And if it's a horse that's going to come from off the pace, I mean, you got to be in the race flow there, it seems. So that's the one rub on a single where horses are, doesn't look, you know, there's enough speed to set up a horse from off the pace. I mean, there's a horse tomorrow in that second leg in the sixth race. Jameel's Inferno, who is the 5-10-1 too on the morning line. Comes from off of it, and you know, going back to 2500. Which is actually the level of the last win. I don't know. He's also got to stretch out to 6 furlongs. I don't know. It feels like the class of the group, but Heaven's Creation for Gonzalez. This is a horse that's off a little bit of a layoff. You know, we've gotten into a habit of those Gonzalez horses on 7 days rest. They've been terrific in these sequences. So we'll head to the break and want to get over to Churchill before the top of the hour. I'm going to talk to Sid and catch up with him. Since I'm looking at it, maybe we'll do this piecemeal because the second half of the show is going to get busy. But that first leg, Innocent Storm, the 5 from Stetson Mitchell and Dakota Wood, and Chance of Frost, who's making a seasonal debut for Kelly Martinez. who's good with 6-month-plus layoffs. This is a 6-year-old mayor. Chance of Frost is going to save ground inside. But the 2-1 favorite, Innocent Storm, the horse to beat in the first leg. Maybe you lean. Maybe that's the big lean. Jameel's Inferno, as I mentioned. On the outside, too, there's a horse. You know, there's a last out winner, that Dixie Delta. Bob Mitzner. And 8-1. Probably coming off the best last race. It's a tough, the second leg is going to be tricky. Third leg, Memories Galore and Dirty Dixie Road and You're the Reason. Jake Elysiak on Dirty Dixie Road, 5-2. You're the Reason, 4-1. Chris Fackler for Jesse Compton. And Memories Galore, 6-1. For owner trainer Bob Haar. And I think you got to use all three. The 5,000 non-2 lifetime. You got a couple of last out winners to consider. Two recent maiden breakers, including Alicia's Valentine, coming out of a maiden 10 winner, going a mile. So turns back, looking for a second career victory while dropping in price 50%. Alicia's Valentine. SC Angel. SC Angel, 5-2. Arietta. I think you got to highlight Arietta right now. Curious Kennedy as well. And then in the nightcap, it's a nickel. You're going to go a mile. Charmin Dixie. Last seen at Delta for Gonzalez in January. 7,500. The winner. Looks like the horse to be. So, there's a quick glance at Fonner. Let's take a break. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643. 888-938-4643 or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Woman on the radio talks about revolution when it's already passed her by. Bob Dylan didn't have this to sing about, you know it feels good to be alive. I was alive and I waited, waited.
Well, I'm sure at the backstretch at Churchill, the backstretch at Churchill, they feel like it's the best place to be. Because, you know, even if you had a place to, you know, to stay, and you know, whether that was Oaklawn or Fairgrounds, and of course Fairgrounds, you know, made adjustments, even if you had a place, it's still not awkward per se, but it just unsettled. You just feel unsettled. And so for those, you know, that have been waiting to get back home, if Louisville is the main home, they are getting there and reestablishing, and it's got to feel great. Darren Rogers joins us to talk about it. And Darren, those videos of vans pulling in and feed buckets stacked up and straw going down, the bedding going down for horses, it looked like a pretty joyous scene.
Yeah, like you said, it was such a welcome return to Louisville. It was great to see. You know, we've instituted these protocols and procedures for the folks to come in. And you know, yesterday was the first day that the barn area had reopened. We had the first flight of horses from Fairgrounds, and you know, we had approximately, you know, 295 COVID-19 tests administered to all stable employees in advance down there at Fairgrounds. The company that we're utilizing, Wild Health, out of Lexington, you know, they subcontracted the testing to folks down there. The tests were overnighted to Wild Health in Lexington. So we were able to get some advance work done there. We've also had, you know, an additional 580 tests at Churchill Downs with different people that were already in town, our own employees,
that are essential in the barn area. That was done, you know, last Wednesday through Friday, for example. And then we tested nearly 200 yesterday. The COVID-19 test is a one-time test upon return to the new environment. And then once those folks have been tested, they in turn quarantine until the results come back. And the great part is it comes back. If I was tested yesterday morning, I knew the results when I showed up at the stable gate today at 6 a.m. And then moving forward on a daily basis, very similar to some of the other backstretch communities that are operating right now, you know, we'll have a daily temperature check and a medical questionnaire for each person. And once they receive that, a color-coded wristband or armband goes on those folks so we know who has been cleared for the day, so to speak. And so that's continuing with the next wave of horses from Fairgrounds today. Another welcome site, Steve. We're taking entries today for Saturday. That's going to be great. Entries for Saturday, and then tomorrow the horses that have returned will begin to start training over the racetrack.
Yeah, and in fact, John Nichols will be with us in the third hour to celebrate his incredible Saturday. I mean, I guess one of the benefits of being at home and not having to, you know, be clocking in the mornings, allowed him to kind of knuckle down and ends up almost sweeping three contests on Saturday. Unbelievable. And
it is not
I think he's
surprise.
Anxious to get
it
back
is,
to work.
That's not a surprise no. here. He's had many incredible Saturdays, John.
Without a
he's
doubt.
He's a very astute handicapper.
Darren, give everybody a kind of a preview before I ask you about the Derby trail and the status of where things are headed. Just talk a little bit about how things how you expect things to unfold, the adjusted stake schedule for the spring meet, as it were, and obviously the Oaks and Derby portion delayed to September. But what do we have to look forward to here over the next several weeks?
Well, it's going to be, I think, the racing will be outstanding. I mean, just there's limited racing opportunities. The racing's been outstanding the past couple of years at Churchill, anyway, and they're going to be able to compete for an average of, $560,000 each day when you look at the races that have been offered in the first condition book. Maiden special weights will be $79,000. The allowance races range from $81,000 to $88,000. And, we've got an allowance race that's offered in the book for Saturday. And I don't have it in front of me, the exact conditions, but it's a money within a year allowance for fillies and mares over two turns on the dirt. And I would not be the least bit surprised to see the return of Monomoy Girl in a race like that. You can see that she fits that condition, and that I know trainer Brad Cox has been looking to get a race into her. So the spacing of a race on May 16th would go perfectly into a race at the end of the meet, the Fleur-de-Lis for fillies and mares going a mile and eighth on the dirt.
Nice.
So there's while we don't have a stakes on the first 2 days of action this Saturday and this Sunday, I think there will be stakes quality type fields if any of the early indications and conversations I know Ben Huffman has had with horsemen, people are looking to race. People are looking for these opportunities, and we've got some good races added. The stakes schedule you alluded to, if you take a look at Derby Week that we lost, it's literally being picked up and moved to the first week of September. So, you know, that is the intention. Now, there'll be some adjustments. I know there's been some very good conversations with the top, you know, racing secretaries and you know, vice presidents of racing, you know, with the New York Racing Association. Obviously, you know, we've got the folks also at Keeneland that are trying to get their graded stakes in, the folks out in California. Everybody's trying to work together, but at the same time, we're trying to run these races. So it's so important for the, you know, the breeding and sales end of the game to get some of these graded stakes races run. We're all working together, but the intention is to have a lot of the stakes that you saw on Oaks and Derby Day just picked up and moved until the first week of September. The action that we have is 16 stakes worth more than $2 million, $2.25 million to be exact, for you know, the spring meet that'll kick off. And we have a Stephen Foster preview day on May the 23rd, highlighted by the Matt Wynn for three-year-olds. Also have the Blame for older horses going 1 mile. The Shawnee, which is a new race, a prep for the Fleur de Lis, going 1 mile and 1/16. The War Chant for three-year-olds at 1 mile on the turf. And then the Teppan for three-year-old fillies at 1 mile on the turf. A lot of those races would feed into closing day action on June the 27th, Stephen Foster Day. Really looking forward to the meet. Post time each day is going to be 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll race Thursdays through Sundays. We have a special holiday card on Memorial Day. So it's been shortened at the moment from its, you know, typical 38-day spring meet to 26 days. But we're really, really looking forward to getting back up and running starting on Saturday.
Well, everybody's looking forward to it, and the variety and you know, the turf and, you know, just some fresh faces, some horses that should be getting ready and freshened up. So we're looking forward to it. And also, Darren, you know, with each of these, you know, press notices that have gone out and the communications, the, you know, the prospects for the revised, you know, Derby point schedule, a 10-4-2-1 for the upcoming Matt Wynn. And we're hoping the Santa Anita Derby gets to run first weekend in June. How much further along is the planning, or are you just continuing to watch and wait, you know, based on everybody coming online when they come online?
Well, I'm going to break some news for you. How do you like that? You like breaking news?
We always like breaking news.
The Steve Vick exclusive. We're going to be putting out a news release regarding to the road to the Kentucky Derby and the road to the Kentucky Oaks later today. Now, we just want to put some news out there on it. It's an unprecedented year. You know, we have a lot of moving parts, still a lot of unanswered questions, you know, including, you know, who will be able to run the racetracks and when. And we've had a lot of great conversations with our partner tracks, and we believe we've identified those races. I think it's going to continue to evolve, including date placement, you know, as the host tracks, you know, firm up their plans as to when they'll be able to race and when they'll be able to stage these races. And, you know, officially we still haven't seen the first two legs of the Triple Crown placed, although there is, you know, there's been some chatter as to when they may go. The news, we're going to expand the Matt Wynn on May the 23rd from 10-4-2-1 to a 50-20-10-5, because there are limited racing opportunities for three-year-olds across the country right now. We've had measured interest from horsemen. And the Matt Wynn over the home track of the Kentucky Derby appears to be the lone race in the month of May on the national calendar for horsemen to use as a prep for any possible important stakes engagement that could occur in mid to late June. And so for that reason, you know, we're happy to fill that void and raise the significance of the Matt Wynn. But what you're going to see within this news release is the races that have been identified along the way, along with the points they would be given. But you will not see many dates attached to any of those races because it's still fluid. It's still, you know, subject to change. Again, this is very fluid situation. Now, I will also tell you, Steve, that if any of the two Triple Crown races are placed in advance of the Kentucky Derby, we would award those top four finishers 150, 60, 30, and 15. So anyway, that's some of the updates. Should have it closer to noon. Again, we're still having some of the conversations, but we want to put it out there. We know people are asking. We also know we don't have a clear map just yet, but we're trying to make it a little more clear, you know, and let the racetracks announce the dates and races that are going to be run.
Well, some significant things there. The Matt Wynn, and
yep.
And it did seem that the 10-4-2-1 was conservative, knowing, you know, some of the parties that were gonna you know, show up essentially, or you know, potentially show up. So that should probably draw some horses from Florida, I would imagine as well. And so that is significant. If the Belmont or Preakness were to come before September, 150, 60, 30, and 15, how many races have been identified in total, Darren?
Well, it's still a little bit of a moving part, Steve. So because some of these tracks may not be able to get open in time. But if I'm counting it up right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about a dozen. About a dozen races could be added to this, and that also includes some of the races that have been rescheduled. So you take a race, for example, like the Santa Anita Derby, which is repositioned to June the 6th at this time. You know, that's one of the races on the schedule.
And then some of the obvious, you know, waiting to hear what's next from Prairie Meadows and Indiana. Indiana seems to have a target now. So the regional derbies, obviously, the anticipation of Del Mar, the anticipation of the Haskell, et cetera. You know, Saratoga with however the Travers / Jim Dandy are going to be treated. The Del Mar thing, if I'm not mistaken, I think we saw that rather than the shared belief that they're going to create a 3-year-old race.
That would be news to us.
I think I saw that. Well, it may have just been the way it was worded, but
the shared belief is what is tentatively carded. The important thing for us is to have the West Coast have a stepping stone to a September 5th.
Absolutely.
Derby. So if it's the shared belief, if it's another race that's created, that's what we would use. You know, we think it's fair to have different regional representation, you know, the West, the Midwest, you know, and the East Coast, everybody to have, you know, steps and a path, and you know, we'll get there along the way. But you know, stay tuned. About noon, you'll have it as clear as we can present it. if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely. No, this was very informative, and I'm thrilled that you know, that we could, you know, we could include it, and it'll give everybody, I think, again, there's been so many positive and hopeful moments and messages. There's been so much encouraging about a lot of, you know, the responses from horsemen, from horse players, from, you know, the track organizations, from the networks, broadcasting, etc. I mean, it's really been a comprehensive response, and by all rights, I mean, the industry, I think, can be plenty proud of how this has been, you know, adjusted to in a difficult scenario.
And, you know, my thoughts are, you know, while we're rejoicing here in Kentucky, our thoughts are with our fellow racetracks and horsemen around the country that are working hard to get their racing jurisdictions reopened. And I'm hopeful that, you know, some of the models that we've created here in Kentucky can be, you know, duplicated at
sure,
some of these other jurisdictions that are trying to reopen. We know how frustrating it is, it's there's a lot of tireless work behind the scenes, with you know planning, but you know, not just the own employees of the racetrack, but working with, you know, local and state officials to get a green light to move forward under certain protocols and restrictions. So, you know, our thoughts are with those folks, and I hope that they're able to get their tracks up and running again soon as well.
Well, we'll look forward to the first overnight, and we'll also look forward to more detail from Derby Media, Darren Rogers and the team. And by the way, one of the buried leads was that new stable gate that looks fabulous.
Yeah, well, we weren't able, you know, to do a big ribbon cutting ceremony.
Ribbon cutting?
Ribbon cutting due to, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic. But, yes, we have a new stable gate entrance right off of Oakdale. We've completed, you know, the construction of 3 quarantine barns. And the Equine Medical Center will be, you know, up and running very soon. So, we were able to finish that. And I just wish we could show it off to more people. But
soon
hey,
enough,
we'll take the baby steps and you know, have essential personnel only, no spectators, unfortunately, no owners, no media yet, but. Kentucky's starting to open its doors in different areas, and perhaps we could have some movement along the way, maybe as early as June. So we'll stay hopeful, and we're working behind the scenes to get spectators back as well.
Tremendous. Darren, can't thank you enough for this.
Absolutely, pal.
Darren Rogers, everybody, Derby Media, and plenty of terrific tidbits to get excited about there, starting with day one of the spring and early summer season at Churchill. Let's take a break here. Hour two upon us. Sid Fernando going to get Sid in a day early. Later, Daryl McCart to celebrate his induction into the Hall of Fame and talk about his career, some of the tremendous horses that he rode, and we're shifting with Daryl from Derby memories to Preakness memories. Andy Serling and John Nichols as well. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments.
Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Sirius XM Sports presents